One of the most controversial things that we say here at Reach Right is that most churches need to stop live streaming. In this episode, we're going to unpack why.
You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow.
Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about live streaming for your church and why it is a huge mistake. Have we talked about this before? Yes.
Yes, we have.
Is it worth revisiting?
Yes, it is.
Probably.
Yeah.
And has our opinion changed?
Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. But I don't think we've gone, at least on a podcast, you've put out some video, I know, on this, but yeah.
Yeah, I have. We have done videos on this. We've done podcast conversations about this.
Yeah.
It's definitely been points in our podcast that we've talked about before. Yeah. But I think it's also the thing that we receive the most pushback on in our entire YouTube and social media career is people disagreeing with us on this hot take that most churches shouldn't live stream. So by way of caveat, let me get a few of the disclaimers out of the way before we get into things here.
Yeah,
this is not advice for all churches of all sizes, in all places, at all times.
Right.
But it is advice for the vast majority of churches. Specifically, I think that there is a case to be made for live streaming for very large churches. I just did a video the other day about average church sizes, and what we typically consider to be a mega church is less than half of 1% of all churches. So if you kind of are in that mega church or borderline mega church category, I hope you stay and watch this episode, but please just hear that there is some exceptions we could make for you in those cases. And that's not to say that small churches couldn't do this. There is conceivably a scenario where a very small church can have like just an enormous budget and tons of people to put into this and have the production quality of a very large church that you could make a case that that's it. So if that's you, then please know that we love you. Keep doing what you're doing. That's awesome. But for the 99.5% of us, this is what we want to talk about here today. So the big premise is that most churches should not be live streaming their church services anymore here in Q1 of 2025.
Yeah, right.
So that's kind of where we find ourselves. Do you want to prod me a little bit about that, Ian, or ask me any questions to kind of talk through why, or we can discuss?
Yeah, I think there's some points that we can definitely tackle that will help the conversation along. And probably to start was, when did this become a thing? Now, when I say that, you and I have been working with churches on web development and everything since, 2006, 2007?
Yep.
And then there were churches that did some live streaming. Now, that was very rare, but there were a couple on the cutting edge, and even then, the quality was nowhere near what it could be now. But that being said, I'm trying to recall, Thomas, is when did this start becoming a thing and on the rise?
So I think that it was, like, I saw it then, and it was just, like, extremely expensive. You had to, like, hire these, like, basically, it was a lot of kind of production companies and these kinds of people were doing it. So it was for 0.01% of churches, I would say, at that point. And that was the case until probably the, you know, kind of early teens, so 2012, 2013. Then we start to see some of the rise of some live. This is well before YouTube or Facebook Live or any of those kinds of things existed. I think it really entered the public consciousness when you could go live on social media. So when I remember when Facebook Live rolled out, that was probably around 2015 or so, I would think, when you started to be able to kind of, it was just ideally, I remember the first time hitting live and just talking to my friends and, you know, just talking about what I'm doing. I think I happened to be sledding or something like that that day. And it was so weird for me, a Hawaii boy, to be sledding. Everybody was so interested in that. So I did that. And that was back when just people didn't, you know, this is back in the era when people mostly took pictures of what they were eating for dinner for their social media posts. So that kind of content was fine.
Yeah.
And then I think churches got the swing of it, like probably around shortly after that, like, wait a tick. You know, if we actually use this, not just to make videos of what we're eating or sledding or any of those things, but actually put our church services on there, there's a real opportunity with this. So we gave that a try. I know we did it probably around 2016. That's when I think we were probably early adopters at that point, but several other churches did it. But then I think, you know, the obvious kind of big major moment of when it all kind of turned around was COVID, right?
Yes. So, COVID was that firsthand.
The big moment where every church, just about, you know, except for the really brave ones, we all had to stop meeting in person for somewhere between 2 weeks to, in my church's case, like 22 months here in Hawaii, where everything was shut down.
Yeah.
So it really was all of a sudden we were left to figure out what do we do and how do we have something that resembles church and do it. And in that season, I think that live streaming was a fantastic idea.
Yep.
I think it was good. Now, was it actually valuable for church members? I know that, like, just to be totally honest, like, I didn't care for it. Like, I think that it's just, it was something that I still appreciated the sermon portion, I think, but like just worship was really hard to execute.
Very weird.
And I can't, I just be the first to tell you that, like, standing in a building with 300 of my brothers and sisters worshiping the Lord, and music happening and hands raised is a different experience
than,
you know, being in my pajamas at home with my children, you know, kind of watching worship happen on TV.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I think that's what it was for most people. If we think like that people were actually standing and clapping in their living rooms, sure, I'm sure you can find some anecdotes where that did happen, but you just need to hear it from me.
Sure, there's still probably a few that are doing that.
They are, yeah, they probably are, yeah. But the reality we need to set in, we need to understand as pastors, is that is a small fraction of people. I think, like, the thing that it became is it became something, service was something that you consumed, like that you watched in that case. So is there value in it? Absolutely, there's some, but I think that it was not the same at the same time. So you and I said very early that, like, it's just not the same thing. There was kind of this question of, are we ever going back to regular services again in churches?
Well, you know, it's, that was,
you remember that? You're asking that?
I had, I do remember we talked about that. And well, it's funny, a couple things come to mind. I just started having flashbacks of when the pandemic was here. And then, like, the first two, maybe three church services. And of course I'm a part of one of those, you know, minorities of being in a mega-sized church, we were already doing a very good job of live streaming. And we also have a phenomenal worship team, so we can kind of get away with that. But I will say, even as great of a job as my church does with the worship production and all of that, quickly it was awkward. I'm like, okay, yeah, I could stand up and raise my hands in my living room. And meanwhile, my son spilled a bowl of cereal in the kitchen, you know, and it's just, and then all of a sudden it got very, you and I, when we were chatting over the pandemic, we were like, man, it just got really old quick, didn't it? Doing church at home, for us at least. And then I've had some pastors, now I will say, this is a very small percentage of pastors that I talk to, that say to me now, oh, Ian, you know, just ever since COVID and we started doing live streaming, you know, just our members, just they don't come back anymore because they can just watch at home. And and then they say it in a way where they think that that's happened for every church. And I'm like, that's a very small percentage. And that maybe also just meant that something was not healthy in your neck of the woods at your church anyway. Right. So, so anyway, those things came to mind as you were talking through that, Thomas. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all that to say, there was definitely value there. But I think as the pandemic lifted, I can tell you at my church, as the executive pastor, I made the decision along with kind of our team, together we made it, that while we were executing a live stream and there were people that were watching it, we decided to pull the plug on it. And, you know, sometimes the pushback I hear is like, well, if someone's watching it, why would you take that away from them?
Right.
And the reality
is they can still watch it just on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah. It's actually, they could watch it a couple of hours after. So here's what I want to make this clear too. What we're not saying when we say stop live streaming, we're not saying stop putting videos of your sermons on YouTube or on your website. That is absolutely something we love. You need to do every church. I think if you can pull it off well, you should be doing that. What I'm saying is that to do the live sound and actually stream live and make it valuable, I think that it just is way too challenging for most churches, and you can probably use resources better in other areas if you were to do it that way. That's kind of the big case that we're trying to make with all this here. So as far as drawbacks, I mean, so like it's there's not like a, I think this is what is so hard for people is that there's not like this obvious drawback other than, well, there's one that I can think of that's really major is that like, I think for most churches, you're actually, if you put out a bad quality product, people are less likely to be interested in visiting your church in person if they see a bad product on Sunday, you know, on the stream there. So that's kind of the real serious drawback. All of the other drawbacks in my mind are opportunity cost drawbacks. So it's the money that you're spending on pulling off a live stream. The biggest cost though is all of the people that you're having like pour out their lives and invest their time and work so hard and train and the, all that cost, I think for most churches, it could be better spent somewhere else. And if you just took like the average church, if they took all of that work they would put into live streaming and instead use that to, in the same area, you use that to edit your actual, just the sermon portion of your message to make a great thumbnail for the video, to work on titling it right and writing a good title and description that's optimized, and then putting it out there and then chopping it up into maybe short form videos and repurposing some of those kinds of things. So you take the same people that are doing the live stream and have them do that instead. I think, like no exaggeration, I think your reach would probably be tenfold if you did something like that. So that's the opportunity cost. Now, if you're flooded with volunteers and you just have more people that you know what to do with, maybe you could make a case to do a live stream that way. But I don't think I've ever heard that from a pastor in my life. We have too many volunteers.
That would be also in that half a percent category. Right. But you made me think of a conversation I literally had, last week, I think. And this was a church maybe of 60 people in the Milwaukee area, so not a large church. And I was talking to him, asking him if he was recording his sermons. And he was like, you know, I do a podcast and I do audio. And everyone keeps telling me why don't we do live streaming? Or at least not everyone, but people were asking him. And he goes, you know, I started just getting on all of the websites and just going online, looking at what other churches in our area or region were doing. And they were a lot, most of them were doing live streaming, but it was really bad. And I said, you're exactly right. That's exactly what we preach. And he goes, I just don't know if, you know, I want us out there looking bad to potential first-time visitors. So that's case in point. But it was also cool to hear him say it like he was thinking about it for the first time. And this pastor actually went around and, you know, watched other live streams and he was just like, gave him a bad impression. So what do you think it's going to do to that unchurched person or that person that's looking for a church for the first time? Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, I think that's well said. I think that it's... he's hit the nail on the head. I think that's a good experiment. I think if you're listening to this episode, you know, maybe you're thinking like, and I'm probably ruffling some feathers already with what I'm saying. And I'd love to see your live stream. Like, so if you're kind of like, it's huge. And I think what the challenge is for so many churches is that pastors, we're notorious for taking one anecdote and using it as evidence to make a whole bunch of decisions on things. And I can assure you that, like when we pulled the plug on our live stream, we had like three or four people that we had to have conversations with and they were genuinely sad. Like they were, it's part of my routine and what I do. And we explained to them, well, you know what? It's going to be live at around 1 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock when it used to be. So, you know, you'll have it. It'll be even better when you do that. And we just kind of helped them through those things. So I'm sure there's going to be someone in the comments.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm sorry. Because let me just say another comment that I've had from pastors. I'm glad you mentioned that last thing is because a lot of pastors, they think of homebound, like older members that now are partaking in a live stream. And to those folks, you know, it probably makes them feel, and we get this and we understand this, but it probably makes them feel like they're a part of the service when it's going right. on. And again, we understand there's some value to that, but if it's hurting you more than helping just Betty Sue at home, you know, it, like you said, that conversation could be like, hey, it'll still be ready a couple hours later. It's going to look better. And, yeah. And also with this decision, you know, we want to reach first time visitors still, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want to minimize Betty Sue. And like you were talking about, I think that she's her life matters. And we really want to be able, be a blessing to our seniors or other homebound people for other reasons.
Yeah.
But I just think that in the end, this is what ministry is, right? It's making tough decisions about things that, you know, that there's different people in your church want different things. We had this long conversation over the last several weeks at our church about the volume of our worship. And all the solutions, and there's people that tell us they want it louder, people that tell us they want it quieter, and so this is just what ministry is, right? You have to have those things. So I think that it, the benefits of pulling the plug in our case, and in I think most of your cases, will outweigh them. There will be some anecdotes. I'm sure you'll have a testimony that says of someone that watched a live stream and made a decision to follow Jesus, and I can't wait to meet that person in heaven. It's going to be great. And we celebrate those things. That's good.
But even in heaven, they'll say it was just the word, but the video looked awful.
I almost turned it off, but then it finally got into the sermon portion, and something kept me there. I don't know what it is, but I think that there's, you got to fight the anecdotes. You have to fight that and actually use what data is out there. And it really, and here's kind of the data that we fall back on is that even with those that live stream, most live stream platforms, how they work is you put it out live. And then that same live stream, it remains on the platform. And most of them, most of us don't ever really look at like the division of how many people were watching us like dead on live, not recorded at all. And usually it's a very small portion of your overall audience. So if 90% are watching after the fact and 10% are watching live right when you do it, I think there's value in making a better product for the 90% than it is making like everybody watch kind of a average product, making all, you know, to cater to the 10% in that case. So
that's it.
These are the kind of decisions you have to make. And that's kind of our reasoning behind some of that stuff, among other things. But I guess there's a question about, is there a benefit to live streaming? I think we covered some of those. There are some, there's always gonna be anecdotes, right? There are benefits to that. I think you mentioned the homebound. I think that's a definite case. I think that there's value when traveling, but to be really honest, when I travel, I'm almost like I'm on a different time zone when I'm traveling out of Hawaii. And so I know my use case is different. So usually I'm not available at the exact time that church is happening. So I'd rather watch it on demand, but there are some people that, you know, there is maybe a little bit of benefit with that synergy of someone knowing that I'm doing this the same time as my church. I don't really like get the case for that much, but I have heard that people kind of feel that is special to them. So those are some of the benefits, but that's about what I think. Can you think of any others, Ian, that you hear?
Well, you made me think of my church, but again, I say this being a part of a larger mega-sized church that does an amazing job at production and everything. We also stream our services into 12, I think it's 12, correctional facilities, so prisons across Texas. Now, for those again, taking a step back, doing a great job of that. And also, we go into those prisons and do baptisms and provide discipleship materials and all, which is awesome. But the benefit for those folks is if they're incarcerated and they get to take part in our church service at that time, that's great, right? That's great, but it's also being done well. The ability to stream it well in those correctional facilities is another thing too. So that's one benefit again, but very, again, small percentage of churches probably involved in that. So
I get this picture of prisoners like listening to like a small church's poorly done live stream and they're like in the hall. They're like, oh, come on, I got to go back to my cell. I'm done with this. I can't take it anymore.
Oh, that's bad. On that note, we're going to really upset some people. So, but that's good. That's good.
Yeah. All right. Man. So I guess that brings us to the question of like who should and who shouldn't. It's always going to be arbitrary. I think church size is a bad reason to do it. But so generally speaking, I think it's churches that are you got to be probably 700-800 plus in typical attendance, or the type is the size where you're able to start pulling some of this kind of stuff off at a decent enough quality. Yeah. And even then, I think it's a real challenge to get the manpower to pull that off. The big question is not church size, obviously. It's more just, do you have the bandwidth, the team, the equipment, the facilities, the stage design, all those kinds of things to make that work? It takes separate sound engineers, these kinds of people, probably multiple cameras, some of that kind of stuff to make it something that's valuable content, I think, for most people. So that's usually kind of the churches that could consider it. And I just think, like, my main case would be that in most cases, churches of the church my size, for instance, of, 300 people on a Sunday, there's like, I would love if we could execute that well and do a really great live stream. But the fact is, I would just rather have those people that would be dedicated to that doing other things. I'd rather have them, that whole case I made before of focusing on making YouTube edits and dialing all those things in. And if someone has 3 hours a week to serve at our church, I'd rather set them off on that kind of a project, because it would get much better results than the amount of work it would take to do a live stream. So that's my
agreed. Thing. Yep, agreed. Nothing much to add there, partner.
So to the question, I guess, finally, is there ever a point you should do it? Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's ever a point where you should do it. Like, it's something that would be embarrassing to not. There's even very, very large mega churches that do not live stream, and that's okay. And because I think for them, the product that they put out there is so important that it's done with excellence that even they found that if they just waited and edited and took a few hours and put it out, you know, maybe they're operating a week behind or something. And there are a lot of churches that do that. Like, instead of live streaming, they will actually save last week's message and run that in a live stream the following week. So that's something that people do sometimes. But so it's not, there's never a size where it's embarrassing that you're not live streaming. But again, kind of that size is probably, I'd say you can start considering it when you get kind of close to that 1,000 number, I would say, in typical attendance is what I see in most cases. So
I agree, Thomas.
So don't come at me. It's okay. Actually do if you want to come at me. We're up for spirited debate on this.
Come at us.
I would love it. Like, so come at me with your stories, like your anecdotes about someone, you know, lives that are changed from live streaming. That's great. Come at me, though, also with like some kind of data that you use, like that's more than just a person told me once, or I've heard four people share they really loved it. That kind of stuff is great. But if you have real data, I would love to see some of that. I'm happy to be proven wrong. I think if it is something that works for your church, especially if you're a smaller church and it's good for you, I'd love to hear about it. Drop us a comment down below. Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.